If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Let's go. Can LSU survive one of the biggest, earliest season injuries in the Brian Kelly era? Jacobian Guillory is out. I'll give you my thoughts on how the defensive tackle room will look like moving forward. Let's get to it. Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the Jacobian Guillory's out for the season. It's a loss. I'm not sure if it's a ginormous loss. I tend to try my best to not overrate like any individual loss. But for me, this has more to do with leadership, if anything else, right? Jacobian Guillory has been the guy that has been through all these defensive line coach changes. Him and Savion Jones were in the same recruiting class. And obviously, Jacobian Guillory, up to this point in his career, has been mostly a solid rotational piece. And through a game and some change up to this point, he had been basically the same thing, a solid rotational piece. His game versus USC wasn't really anything spectacular. Could you have seen a role? Thank you so much. Could you have seen a role where he continued to get better and better and better? Look, could he have eventually become something more than just, you know, rotational, good, solid SEC starter level player? Sure, but the issue at this point is we don't know if LSU has enough solid rotational defensive tackles to make it through the season, right? I think at this point, I am comfortable in saying Gio Paez will mostly be a good LSU defensive tackle for the rest of the season. I don't know if there is another guy in that room right now that I feel is at that level. Now, this will be the biggest name that gets brought up now that Jacobian Guillory is hurt for LSU. And I have kind of sort of pushed back against talking about this player, and that is Dominic McKinley. I think at this point, I understand even if you don't feel he's ready, you've got to give him a shot to play. You know, I think Nichols would have been a great opportunity. He might have played later in the game. I'd have to go back and go look at my snap counts. But the truth is, this is time to use your five-star level talent. Even if you don't think he's ready, it's worth at least giving it a look. Now, a lot of you know how I feel about Dominic McKinley. I did not feel he was a five-star level prospect. And by five-star, athletically, yeah, for sure. He is definitely a rare find when you look at his body type and his overall strength. We saw what he did at the Under Armour All-American game where he just pancaked people. And obviously, as a defensive player, you know, you're not really pancaking people. But he really did just bull rush the heck out of some players. But he's still not a finished product. I feel in year two, he's going to be a really solid piece for LSU. But I never really felt he was like this can't-miss five-star year one guy. But as many of you know, that's not normally how I feel about any prospect. It is rare I feel that way because playing Division I college football in your first year is really, really, really hard. But, you know, with LSU whiffing on a lot of the transfer portal defensive tackles that they were after, this shows how dire of a situation this is, right? Going into the season, we were talking about the LSU defensive tackle room being extremely thin. Well, what has changed from now until then? Well, nothing, really, other than USC having a good day offensively, even though they didn't really run the football. It's not really their identity either. But as you guys saw, Nichols had their way with us just running simple wildcat plays. Now, how many of that was because our defensive tackle room isn't really that great? Well, we just did the film study, and obviously we'll still go live on Sunday nights. We won't go as long as we used to because I know some of you want to go watch a film study. You haven't been able to watch it, but I go live just for the sake of going live on Sunday nights. I don't feel it was really the defensive tackle's fault. I think it was really a collective effort's fault. I did see some spring practices where the sole reason LSU was able to run the football right up the gut is because the defensive tackles just were not ready to go. But I feel this was a team defensive issue versus Nichols State, okay? So we go to Dane here. First comment, and by the way, I take as many questions as we possibly can. I do want to get this bad boy out. Who mother freaking dad? How about them Saints today? Gotta love it. Dante Jackson also got himself a pick. Gotta love it. Jaden Daniels, two tutties. BTJ, a tutty. Get my guy, Malik Nabers, a mother freaking quarterback. Okay? Does Blake Ruffino have any eligibility left? Or does Blake Baker have any eligibility left? Or does Steve Blake, the Maryland point guard, have any eligibility left? Okay? And we could go down the Blakes. There's a lot of Blakes. Okay, there's a lot of famous Blades that I could chat about here. The question is, he didn't play defensive tackle. I played defensive tackle. Okay, you want to know a true story? And Dane said you did super chat this, and obviously Blake would be better, sir, because he's way bigger than me. But I was a good high school defensive tackle. I think I was all conference my final year. I'm not sure. I was a pass rusher, so I played DT. I played DT, and I played at the highest level of high school football in Arkansas, okay? And I did really well when I went to some camps going up against, like, some of the better guys in pass rush settings, like the one-on-one drills that you normally see. But I actually, when I was a freshman, I actually walked all the way to LSU Ops from my dorm on the east side of campus. So a pretty long way, right? My dorm was located, for those that know, located to like the student gymnasium and like kind of the frat houses. So I walked all the way across campus three separate times. And I went up to the LSU Ops building, opened the door, and I never mustered the courage to go ask to walk on. I did it three separate times. I didn't have a car my freshman year. I walked all the way to LSU Ops and I could never ever do it. It's my biggest regret in life that I didn't ask, right? Now I would have gotten my ass kicked and I would have been told no on top of that. But I always wanted to ask. So I'll throw it out there. LSU, I got 4 years of eligibility left. Okay? I will give it my absolute best. I will fight as hard as I could possibly fight. And guess what? I just got some really good defensive tackle tips from a guy who's one of the best defensive tackles ever at LSU. And his name is Michael Brockers, as many of you know. So, LSU, if you are watching, I do have 4 years of eligibility left. I'll work my ass off. I'll do it pro bono. I don't need any NIL. I'll pay you, in fact, to give me this opportunity. But I'm washed as well. I guarantee you there's not anyone, though, that can block me in a one-on-one pass rushing situation. I'll take anybody to school. But it's not about me. It's about the guys in the room. And look, JVR Suggs is hanging in there, right? He's getting used to the pace of play. He's not a big guy, though. So, you know, if you're transitioning from a lower level to a higher level, JVR Suggs has the talent and the explosiveness, tackling ability was something he was really good at. I saw him make an open field tackle on a reverse at Grand Valley State University. But I will tell you this, he has looked slightly better. The Ahmad Bro experiment is continuing to run its course, and he's going to continue to get better. He's just now scratching the surface. But Jacoby Guillory is a big loss, not so much as him as a talent. He is not a special defensive tackle talent, but it's the same way that Marlon Favorite was a key to the LSU defensive tackle room. He was a very good starter level player who meant just as much off the field because of his personality, right? I'm a big Fave fan. I knew Big Fave in college. He's friends with some of the people that are partners here with PHL. And we need some guys to step up. So Tank Guillory out for the season. It is a big, big, big freaking deal. Okay? So Dev asked me, how tall am I? So this is an interesting question. So this actually happened twice in Vegas. Okay? And Trey Beatty, he's not in here right now. He has actually witnessed one of these interactions. There was a few people who walked up to me and they were shocked at how short I was because, you know, I'm always sitting. And one person, and this was actually at the Friday night party at Circus Swim, walked up to me and he said, hey, I don't want you a whole lot, but I always felt your energy and your presence when you do this show. I thought you would have been a huge person, like bigger. And, you know, I'm really not that big of a dude. I weigh about, I won't share my weight. I have lost some weight. I'm not fat per se, but I'm not skinny. And I am, let me put it like this. I am under 6 foot 6 inches tall. I'll say that. I gotta love it, baby. I gotta love it. So, nobody's going to outlow me at the line of scrimmage. I'll put it like that. Now, do I think and do I feel LSU can salvage this defensive tackle room and find ways to get to 9-3 and once again the absolute best case scenario, which is 10-2. Okay. Can they do it? Is it salvageable, this defensive tackle room? The answer is yes. Because we also need at the same time to be honest about Jacoby and Guillory as well. He was a fine player. Okay. And I'm not talking about, I'm not comparing him to like if LSU lost Glenn Dorsey or Michael Brockers, who we mentioned a minute ago. Obviously, if you lost either one of those guys, your season really is in major jeopardy, right? When you lose talents like that. Benny Logan, just someone like that, right? Jacoby Guillory is obviously not that. But I also don't think he's necessarily the next level below that either, right? If we were to grade defensive tackles on a scale, Glenn Dorsey, national championship Ricky Jean-Francois, Rashard Lawrence, they're probably fives, right? Kyle Williams, Chad Lavallee. And then the next level is probably like a four, okay? That is someone, let's say like a Jordan Jefferson, if you will, from last year. A four defensive tackle would be a Christian Locatore, right? A very, very good player. Not one that's going to have like ridiculous NFL success or anything like that. Jacoby and Guillory, on a scale of 1 to 5, was probably a 3. Right, I think most would agree that that's about where he is. Some of you would probably have him as a 4, but I would put him as a 3, a respectable, rotational, probably closer to a backup level player, but good enough to be a starter in the SEC. Okay, so look, that's why I say I don't think this is an insurmountable loss. Right, if Jacoby and Guillory was a 4 out of 5, then yes, this is massive. It is massive compared to the rest of the room, which are mostly 3s and some of which are 2s at this point. Okay. But because I'm closer to him being a 3 than a 4, you know, you're just losing someone that can actually play in the SEC, if that makes sense. Okay. All right. Let's go to Zach. I see BT, Chance, a few others. Scott's in here. Good to have you. Hey, Mark, why are you attacking Dane, man? Why are you attacking my only super chatter? He's not even really said anything wild. I also don't think Dane has ever really said something out of line. I really don't. I can't go back and look at every single Dane's comment. Like, I can understand if you're attacking, like, I don't know, somebody else that said some questionable stuff. Someone who's a lot more like hot ticky opinionated in here. But yeah, I think Dane is a perfectly fine mark. So no, we could settle down this beef right now. I'm literally shocked that you're mad at that. What's up, Zach? Zach, first off, I'm sorry we didn't get to meet up in Vegas. I also didn't know you didn't live there anymore. I guess that might be on me. I think you told me you lived. You moved elsewhere. And I'm actually happier that you moved in where you are, because I'll get to see you more often. Because I love me some Zach Rome, y'all. So what's the hold up on Kylan Jackson? Need that downhill tackling safety play. Okay. So I'm going to tie this into this Harold Perkins thing. So, Scotty B, I'm going to let you know something. All right. I'm going to let you in on a little bit of behind the scenes stuff here. Okay. I have a love-hate relationship with Pro Football Focus, because I do love Pro Football Focus. I remember when Pro Football Focus started, I was doing radio. I just started my radio job, and I started the Carter Bryant Show at my last radio job. And I remember when they started emailing them, I was like, man, I'm a film study guy. I love what you guys are doing. And I didn't know it ballooned into one of the biggest football, like, conglomerates. Now, there's been a lot of sports media beef behind the scenes that's happened, and a lot of their really good talent has left. But I still do love Pro Football Focus, okay? What they do is invaluable, and it's crazy that there's so many teams that use them. But there's no one else that does grading at a scale that they do it. So because there's no competitors, and it is a very subjective thing, and the grading scale can be kind of weird if you don't know it fully, we just kind of take them at their word for all the grading that they do. And I have a lot of questions about a few different ways that they grade things that would probably take hours to explain. So I'm going to let you know something. I don't look at Pro Football Focus grades until I am done with my first LSU film study, okay, from that game. And the reason why I don't do that, and sometimes I'll peek at it, or, you know, the grades will pop up on Twitter or whatever. The reason why I don't do that, and this goes along with the Kylan Jackson question as well, is because I don't want their opinion to affect my opinion, all right? So, for instance, the USC game, they had Savion Jones as, like, the 17th out of 33 qualifying defensive players when it comes to that game. And there is no way you could have watched that game and said Savion Jones was the 17th best player. Now, their grading scale is more on a play-by-play basis. So, you know, Savion Jones had a ton of big plays in that game. And according to them, he had more not-so-great plays. But it's really hard to grade football like that. It is. So, you know, when I get a PFF grade, it is very, very, very hard to fully understand the grade. Another thing that really sucks about the PFF grades, it is impossible for them to know every last little thing that they are coached to do, which is why in almost every film study, but I also share this in live streams, I always remind people that I am not a coach and I'm not a player, and I don't know the responsibilities of every player. It is my best educated guesses. I don't want anyone to ever look at a film study and look at it like, I'm saying that this is how it should have been, okay? So that's why PFF grades are tough, all right? Now, what I will say is I did agree with the USC game. I've not seen the grades for Nichols just yet. And what I'll do is I'll start looking at the grades before I do the Sunday night live stream, because I know a lot of you are going to ask me about, well, what do you think about PFF's grade on this player or that player? I do agree with their lowest graded player versus USC on offense and defense. We did a podcast midway through the last week. I didn't agree with all the grades. So I get this information here that that Scott says Perk was the lowest graded player out of everyone. Okay. And he says maybe he's not that great. So this is the issue with that. All right. And it kind of goes along with Kylan Jackson, right? We just don't know. I mean, we're still very early in the season here. What I would tell you is while Pro Football Focus had Harold Perkins as the lowest graded defender, that wasn't even remotely close with how I saw it. Now, did Harold Perkins have a not so great game? Yes, I would agree. And the USC game wasn't really that great either. And am I worried that the off-ball linebacker role isn't one that suits him the best? Yeah, I'm actually very worried about it. I really am. There are some things about it that make me question a few things about his fit as an off-ball linebacker. And what I think we tend to do as fans is we tend to forget that football is truly a team game. And one thing that can throw a wrench in any plan is basing your entire system and identity around any one player. And if that one player really doesn't fit what you're doing, it can have a huge effect on the whole, if that makes sense. Okay. So why do I bring that up with Kylan Jackson? Well, part of the thing last year with Kylan Jackson was, you know, Brian Kelly was asked about him in a press conference last year, and it was kind of midway through the season. It was just kind of random, right? He wasn't really a factor. As a true freshman, you probably didn't really need to be, but, you know, we needed some help on defense. And someone said, hey, what about Kylan Jackson? Full disclosure, Kylan Jackson had a higher than his recruiting grade from me. So I actually did like him a lot coming out of high school. And then I started hearing about, you know, some of the stuff that Brian Kelly brought up. It wasn't anything like truly nefarious or anything like that. But, you know, there's some maturation as there normally is with most true freshman players. So I like Kylan Jackson a whole lot, but it's also one of those things where, you know, does he know the defense as well as a guy like Jordan Allen, who has been through multiple systems and is, for the most part, a pretty good high football IQ player? Do you want to put Kylan Jackson ahead of Jordan Gilbert, who's played a lot of football? Well, a lot of you are ready to do it for this reason, okay? Jordan Allen had a tough, tough game versus Nichols. It was tough. Now, do I excuse some of it because Jordan Gilbert wasn't available in the first half and that's who he played with versus USC? Sure, you excuse some of that, right? But it was a tough go. It was a tough, tough, tough go for him versus Nichols. So I'm actually with Zach to a certain degree that let's see what a Kylan Jackson, Deshaun Spears safety group looks like, all right? And I still go back to what I've always said, and I'll bring up the player that's been brought up a gazillion times, and he's a guy I talked to on the phone after one of our live streams when he kind of cold called me after the live stream because we had a mutual friend. All I'm looking for at safety is John Battle. That's it. That's all I'm looking for. I'm just looking for good, okay? Good. I don't need great. So I've talked with John Battle on the phone. For those who don't remember, he was really the glue to a lot of those great defenses in the mid-2010s, right? So he was a safety alongside Jamal Adams. He was in the same secondary as Dante Jackson. And he talked to me on the phone. We talked for about 30 minutes after a live stream. He talked to me how important it was for him to understand his role and just be good, just be solid. And if you go ask a lot of the people that played on those defenses, they'll be like, hey, we couldn't have done what we did without John. And you go back and watch the games, you'll be like, man, John Battle really never just sucked. Now, I never went out there and made plays. Obviously, he didn't have success in the NFL. But now he works for Duke football, and he's going to be a successful, you know, staffer. But he was just good, right? Like, I'm just looking for a good college safety. I'm looking for Ronald Martin. I forget freaking Eric Reed. Forget Chad Jones. I don't want that. I'm just looking for good. Somebody that can go out there, make the occasional play when it's time to make the play, but also just be out there. And at this point, you know, who is that guy? Do we have one on this team? And I feel we have a guy that has true Eric Reed-ish potential. Now, they're different players. They're not nearly the same body type. But I do think Deshaun Spears is going to eventually be an all-SEC-level player. And I'm kind of ready to turn the page to him at this point. Kylan Jackson, not so much, okay? But I'm still open to it. Like, I do. That's how great I think Deshaun Spears is going to be at LSU, okay? So let's talk a little bit more about Harold Perkins and your question here. So by the way, it was Sibley. And we're still working on getting John Battle on the show. That's more of like an off-season thing. So I got John's number. I'll text him. We're probably the biggest John Battle fan club people here, because that's how I think I would be as a college football player. Not spectacular, but I would go out there and do my damn job. That's what we're looking for. When John Battle needed to make a play, he'd go make a play. But he said, look, I'm playing next to Jamal Adams. Why would I go out there and run around with my head cut off? Let me just do what I'm supposed to do. Okay? And another reason I bring John Battle up is he was a three-star. Okay? One thing I mentioned in the film study from earlier tonight, I know Pierce was in there, is our defense right now does look like it is full of three stars. Okay? That is not a put down. And I know I did get a DM after the film study was over. Hey, Carter, you that sounded like you're punching down. No, I was just telling you the truth. I mean, it's a secondary full of three stars. Okay? That doesn't mean they can't make plays. That doesn't mean they're not going to be good. It's just you can get around one of your guys being a three-star, okay? But, you know, pretty much all of them are three-stars. All of them, okay? All of them. Jordan Allen was a three-star. Major Burns was a lower or mid-tier four-star. So, PJ Woodland's a three-star, okay? Ashton Stamps is a three-star. Jordan Allen's a three-star, okay? Jaron Gilbert was a three-star coming out. So, look, I have no problem with that. I really don't for any of those guys individually. But you guys know how low of a hit rate three-stars have compared to four and five-stars. Now, what's hilarious about that is Louisiana three-stars, once again, anecdotally, in particular at LSU, have hit at a higher rate than three-stars going elsewhere. And LSU has had a ridiculous amount of great three-star DBs. Obviously, Mo Claiborne won the Thorpe. Jalen Mills was a four-year starter at LSU, and that list goes on and on and on, right, of three-star guys. But, you know, it's pretty clear that they do lack some playmaking ability there. And it's also somewhat clear the modern era LSU that this is one of the lower blue-chip ratio defenses we have ever had. Okay? So, look, Ryan's saying something here. Basically, you're saying this defense isn't fast. Yeah, I mean, somewhat. I'm a little bit shocked, and I don't think, and this was sent from one of my patrons as well, I don't think this has to do with this off-the-field situation, but because that's been cleared up. I'm a little shocked that they've not tried JV and Toviano really at all, right? I'm a little shocked by that, okay? This guy had a very good grade on my own personal scale. This guy played against really elite high school competition and was very good, all right? I'm a little shocked. And, you know, last year when he played in a very tough situation versus Alabama, you know, he wasn't great, but he held up. Like, he was like a solid borderline starter level player, and he had to start. So there you go. Now let's go to Jamal Christian here. He says, man, the season is over. And first off, Jamal, welcome to the channel. You're coming in hot. Hopefully Zay Alexander comes along, but that's another guy that wasn't a blue chip recruit. Okay. Oh, you're hoping to see me in Vegas. Infamous Finn. It's all good, man. I did not get to see everyone. It is amazing how many of these messages I got. You know, someone that I'll share this Infamous Finn really quickly. Someone who really wanted to meet me is this D-Walk, right? His name's Donald, but I call him D-Walk. And he is one in the top 1% of PHL viewers. All right? He doesn't comment a whole lot, but he's probably watching in the background. And he is just a good dude. So he messaged me a bunch in Vegas, and I was trying to make it happen, trying to get everyone to the Mandalay Bay before the game. And it was just so crazy. The energy and the atmosphere was just so wild. But guess what? I was able to be on the same flight with Donovan on the way back, and I got to talk to him for a good 10 to 15 minutes in Dallas. So I feel like everyone that wants to meet me will meet me. All right. And I want to say this, okay? This comes off extremely, extremely wrong, but this is okay. Stop me if you ever see me. Stop me, okay? Now, if I'm meeting with family or something like that, sure, but I'm not like Steph Curry level famous where like I'm getting stopped that much. And even if I am sitting in, stop me, okay? Stop me. I always have stuff to give to viewers on me probably 75 to 80% of the time. And especially if I'm in an LSU environment, I always got LSU cards on me, especially if you have kids with you. I always have LSU bands I give out. I'm actually really low. I'm down to my few last bands here, but stop me. Okay. If you see me, this happened. Friend of the channel saw me at the Circa event with the 104.5 and on three. And I got a message and they got nervous. And I never want that to be the case. They said, hey, I saw you at the thing and I didn't want to walk up and disturb you and say hi. Don't ever let that happen. Don't ever, 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 ever let that happen. If you see me in public, I am not freaking Taylor Swift. I'm not going to have security detail. I didn't intend on this kind of thing to even happen. Right, I just want to be a football sports analyst. But if you see me, stop me. No questions asked. No questions asked. Okay. If I'm in a sour mood, I'll get in a good mood if you stop me. I promise you. Okay. So we'll go back to Jamal. Okay.
Man, this season is over.
It's not. Okay. It also depends on your definition of over. Do you consider over being college football playoff over? Sure, it just depends on what you want to define this year as. It's not over, okay? It's not over. How do I know this? Well, what have we learned in the first couple of weeks of college football? Oregon looked like a bulletproof team. They have looked anything but. Now, they played a good Boise State team, and they were able to edge them out. But even in week one, they looked a little clunky. Okay? Alabama had their issues early with South Florida. Are they better than us right now? Probably so. Yeah, they are. I'll say that. Okay? The list goes on and on. There are a few teams that have looked bulletproof these first couple of weeks. Texas, Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, there's very few teams that feel unfreaking believably confident about the direction that they are heading. Okay. So we tend to get tunnel vision with where we are with LSU football. Did the South Carolina game magically get tougher over the past weekend? It did. Okay. The way they beat out Kentucky, it wasn't just the typical Mark Stoops choke job, overrated coach type of situation. It was more than just that, if you ask me. Way more than just that. South Carolina's got dudes. They probably right now have the most explosive pass rush in the SEC. Here's the issue with South Carolina. As good as their defensive line is, I still think, and I know this is going to sound and it's so wild, LSU, I think, can still run on them, even though LSU has proven to not be able to run really at all. I think they'll be able to run on them. The second thing, and this has always been the Achilles heel of South Carolina football during the Shane Beamer era, they cannot, under any circumstance, build an offensive line. They cannot do it, all right? And with the way Savion Jones has been playing, I think he is in line potentially for a nice game. Now, do I think Savion Jones is at the point where I feel I could confidently say we're going to get another superstar USC performance? I can't quite get there with him, but I've seen enough for me to still say that I think it will happen, and he does have low-key all-SEC potential. Maybe not first team, maybe third team, but South Carolina has never really been able to field an offensive line. Okay, their defense has obviously been really good these first couple of weeks because they did get that big five-star edge player. Dylan, whatever his name is, he's not good. He's pretty special. I think if the NFL draft was held this year, he would be a first-round pick, or if he was eligible to go into the NFL draft. That's how special his pass rush traits have looked the first couple of weeks. I've seen a few clips on Twitter, and they are good. They are really, really, really good. And a few NFL people have already said, wow. Like, wow. Wow, 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 wow. So is he probably the best pass rusher we're going to play this year? I mean, you could make a strong case that he is, right? We don't have to play James Pierce of Tennessee. Don't have to play Mykal Williams of Georgia. So this very well could be Will Campbell and Emory Jones' biggest test of the season. Where I feel a little concerned about this is, well, they didn't have their best game versus USC, and they went up against pretty good ends there. So we really need them to be the first-round picks that we expect them to be. And if they are, I think LSU will be fine, right? But to say that the season is over, yeah, if they lose versus South Carolina, I can get there. I could get there. I think if you lose to South Carolina on the road in year three, in week three, with all this leadership and talent that you have, you will get some people that will begin to tune out, okay? And even though the second loss isn't as, you know, deadly now as it was in every year prior to this one, the second loss does hold weight. It really, really, really does. Okay? So, coming up next, I'm going to give you my early prediction on the USC game as it currently floats around a 7-point spread. Okay, that's coming up after the... Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right, so I actually do think LSU wins this game by two touchdowns on Saturday. Look, before the season began, LSU in this game was probably, I'd have to go look at the preseason point spreads, right? They were probably 10.5 point favorites in this game, maybe 11. Maybe it was just 7. I don't know. I'm not the best at keeping up with the opening lines before the year. And now they sit around a 7-point spread. I think it could go down, right, with a lot of South Carolina money, you know, coming in. I don't know. This feels a little bit like last year, okay? This feels a lot like last year, where we were at very in the middle of this LSU team, okay? And the other team, South Carolina, is coming off a win versus a team that we probably overvalued before the season. Okay. So going into Mississippi State won a very miracle overtime game versus Arizona. It was very fluky. All right. And going into the game, we were concerned, and LSU just blew the brakes off of them. I just can't get there with what I saw with South Carolina before the season and how I felt about them going into the year with their offensive line issues and young quarterback. I just really like LSU. I just think the sample size is still a little too small on this Tigers team at this point. You know, some of the things that I projected going into the season as being big negatives for LSU has turned out to be true, right? I was partially concerned with Joe Sohn's play calling. I was partially concerned about the running game, but I drank the Kool-Aid. I drank the Kool-Aid going into the year. You know, I just go back to how many times I said, man, the running game with actual handing the football off to running backs last year was dreadful towards the end of the season. And I just kind of talked myself into that magically becoming better. And it's just not. Like, I don't know. It could just be the fandom that comes in when you do this job. But one thing that I have seen that I expected to happen is some of the lack of playmaking ability on the defensive side of the ball. I thought the wide receiver room would be very good, and they have been. I thought the tight end room would be very good, and they have been. A little interested in Kamarion Pinton's usage in this last game, which was zero. I don't know if he was hurt. I don't know if he was on some kind of injury report that I didn't see. I don't know if he was completely benched, which I would be very shocked if that was the case. And obviously, I felt that this offensive line was the best we have ever had, and up to this point, they have not played to that level. So it's some things I've thought up to this point are true, and some things I thought have not been true. Okay, and LSU special teams has been really good up to this point. It really has. Okay. Let's go to Spectrum Wellcare. He says we are missing Mac Markway. No. I think we're romanticizing just a little bit. Him as a freshman where he really wasn't that good. Okay. Now he was just a true freshman, so he might have been developing into something year two. But I don't know. I also am very skeptical of anyone that just quits the team like he did. And he did just do that. He just quit the team. Okay. I haven't heard anything else other than that. Okay. So, yeah, I think LSU is going to come in and play their best game. I really do. Because we've not seen them play their best game yet. Now, they might not. Okay. That's obviously the catch 22 here. But I am telling you right now, Mark Stoops sucks. I've always told you that. He's not good. He's never really been good at Kentucky. Never. I've done 1,000 videos. The fact that he choked so badly versus South Carolina after he trash-talked Shane Beamer a few years ago, does not shock me at all. It does not shock me in the least bit. That game had as much to do with Kentucky being just downright dreadful. And look, South Carolina, like I've said, pass rush is really good. Up front, they are really good. They have created a lot of what Blake Baker likes to call havoc. Okay? Let's go to Sibley. Carter, why does LSU chat so much after the play? It would be good if they could just go back to the huddle. Okay. I could not agree more with this. Could not agree more. All right? And look, let's take Jacobian Guillory, who just got out for the season. You know, Brian Kelly was glowingly talking about Jacobian Guillory a few weeks ago. He was a guy that initially had some issues after snaps, like just being a little heated with the opposition, not, you know, staying even keel. And up to this point in the season, you saw, an increase in him being more calm after plays were over, right? I have no problem with intensity. I have no problem with just a little bit of trash talk. But when you're not backing it up, it is a major issue. especially when you're not backing it up physically, right? If you can't tackle worth a dang, and unless you had some big tackling issues versus Nichols, then I don't want you to be talking trash. Now, if you're the 2011 LSU defense, you could talk as much as you want. You're Patrick Peterson, you could talk as much as you want because you're backing it up, all right? Something else I hate about teams that do talk a lot after the snap is when you yourself have blown assignments, all right? That's what I've never quite understood. It's quite crazy. Fit a few of you asked me about Jaden. I've not really had a chance to see the highlights. So the reason I haven't is because I was finishing the LSU film study. I'm actually cutting a Jaden Daniels film study for the NFL channel when I'm done here. So I'll be up pretty late. But yeah, John, I don't quite get it. I really, really, really don't. Okay. But then again, I don't know. I've become a geezer. Yeah, Will Campbell's had some major penalty issues. False starts. We brought up in the film study there should have been an illegal man downfield penalty on one of Xavion's receptions. I need to go back. Maybe he did announce himself as an eligible receiver. I don't know. I'd have to go back and get the game copy. So there you go. Yep, we talked about that earlier. BT had a touchdown today. Malik did some good things. But Jaden, two rushing touchdowns. I've not watched it. I've not watched a single snap. So we'll see. Okay. Jaden is my most owned player. I drafted 250 fantasy teams, and he showed why he is the most coveted fantasy asset that you could have drafted. Bo Nix was bad today. So rookie quarterbacks were rookie QBs today. How about that? So I did a lot of rookie QB breakdowns. And one thing I tended to do was like they were doing like some really, really good things. And I felt like going back and looking at some of my reviews, I was like, man, I'm talking too glowingly about these guys versus preseason level defenses where teams aren't showing anything. So I kind of changed my tune. I was like, yeah, these are good performances. And then I redid all their film studies and put them all together in an hour-long film study. And then said, y'all, I've rewatched this, and my tone is very positive when I'm doing film studies. At least I think it is. I've been criticized about that quite a bit. But it's hard, you know, when you're sharing your subjective opinion. Everyone could take you as being too positive or negative, whatever. But, you know, it's preseason defenses. So Caleb Williams won today. Didn't really do anything statistically. Joe Burrow also had a tough day today. All right. Really tough day. You know? T. Higgins magically had a hamstring injury before the game, and Ja'Marr Chase wants to get paid. So, yeah, it's crazy. Apparently, a lot of you are saying JD took a lot of hits today. That's always scary, man. It's always scary. I have a tough time believing, though, that any rookie quarterback was worse than Bryce Young today. I've already posted a Saints film study. Go to Power Hour NFL if you want to watch it. How could a quarterback play worse than what Bryce Young did today? As a year two guy with better coaches, slightly better skill guys around you. I mean, he was so bad today. So, so, so bad. And the funny thing is, outside of Jaden, Bryce Young was my most drafted quarterback this offseason. Okay. As like a QB2 or QB3. And boy, was I wrong. God, dog. He freaking sucked. Just, he's ass. I don't see a way forward here. I don't. Like, I have to just take an L on this. I've gotten a lot right about QBs. I've gotten a lot wrong about QBs. A lot. And there's nothing I've gotten more wrong than Bryce Young ahead of CJ Stroud in last year's draft process. Okay. I did get Anthony Richardson right. We'll see with Will Levis here. I thought Malik Willis wasn't really anything either. I didn't like that QB class before that. I obviously was correct about that. I also didn't really love Trevor Lawrence. And I feel like he's one of those kind of like middle quarterbacks. Like, he's going to be like, at best, Phillip Rivers. You know, he had kind of an up and down day today. So you get some things right. You get some things wrong when you're in this business. But Bryce Young will always be my biggest L. Always. Like, C.J. Stroud is otherworldly, and Bryce Young just stinks. He just downright is ass. You know, I was banging the table. New play caller, actually some help. Number one overall picks rarely just suck, right? At least they turn into Jared Goff or Baker or someone like that. But he is ass. I don't know if there's a way forward here. I do not know if there's a way forward. Okay. No, I don't know. I don't know. I can't get there. Once again, Panthers ownership is terrible. Can any coach succeed with bad, like just downright terrible ownership? I don't know. But I do want to shout out my friend Julie. Okay. She was texting me and she's one of our Discordians. By the way, join our PHL Patreon. You can get my game grades from last night, how I unapologetically felt about every single position group last night. Julie was texting me during the game. She watched the whole game. And I told her I wasn't able to watch it because I was cutting the LSU film study and finishing the Saints film study. So if you want my thoughts on Jaden, they'll probably be posted in the morning. Okay. But a lot of QBs had some ass days today. Deshaun Watson, at least the Panthers' Bryce Young situation is not as bad as the Watson situation. Okay. Now, you know, you learn this in life. And I think Sibley told me this over the phone. Sibley, one of my many mentors. Okay. Sometimes the best things that happen to you in life are the great things or the things that you pursued that you didn't get, right? There is a gazillion stories of actors and actresses who didn't get this role, but it led to them getting this role. I mean, we've all been there, right? You didn't get to date this person, but that person ended up being a drug addict or going down the wrong path. I mean, there's a thousand what ifs, right? And as bad as Bryce Young has been and as terrible of a trade that was for the Panthers, there is nothing worse than the Deshaun Watson situation. Nothing. Okay. Yes, that Panthers trade was an all-time bad trade, but the Panthers were in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. No one else was in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Another quarterback who starts for the team that a lot of you like. He wears number 4 and his name is Derek Carr. He wouldn't be here if Deshaun Watson had chosen New Orleans. Okay. The Saints were in the thick of it. Okay. As they were in the thick of it of Tom Brady. I mean, there's all kinds of what-if quarterback situations. But I think the good Lord every day that my favorite team did not get in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Or they were in it, but they didn't win. Okay. Watson is grade A ass. Okay. And the worst thing in life isn't bad. If there's anything that you could take away from this show, from this channel, And this is the only like big philosophical thing that I feel I've shared with the world that is correct and that you can apply to anything in life. Okay. It's this. Being bad in many ways is good, right? If you're around bad, right? Things that we can acknowledge that are bad, all right? Because you know you got to move on from it. What's worse than being bad, though, is thinking something is good, but they really are bad, all right? And that is the issue with Deshaun Watson, right? You've paid him all this guaranteed money, and you think he could be good again, but in all seriousness, he's just bad, okay? So, and there's a lot of that in sports. There is a lot of that in sports, some of which we're dealing with on this LSU team right now. Like, there are some players who we think are really good and are probably not as good as we think they are and could in very many ways just be bad, something that's holding us back. So there's a lot of different things that we can point to as that, right? And the thing that I really like about sports, particularly professional sports, is you do have the added benefit of cost-benefit analysis, okay? So, for instance, I wanted Dak Prescott to hit the open market and the Saints go get him. That's how good I think Dak Prescott really is. But he became the highest paid quarterback ever today. All right. Would I have done that? I don't know if I would have done that. And I see why the Cowboys waited. Because that's a lot. Okay. And I do think Dak is the best quarterback in the NFC. I don't know if I would have gone that route. I didn't know that's what he wanted. Right. But of course, if you address it before last year, you're probably getting it for what the Dolphins got too, if that makes sense. So some of that is on the Cowboys as well. But, you know, there's the extra benefit of cost. And college teams are going through this now. Not only are you going to get players, you're having to do a cost-benefit analysis. Like with Dominic Williams at Oklahoma. Was he worth that much money? I don't know. Thoughts on Joe and the Bengals today. Haven't gotten a chance to watch him. I will definitely watch him before I start the Jaden thing, though. It's crazy. Mayfield, Carr and Darnold had some of the best stats today. You know, one of the crazy things is how much football all three of these guys have played, right? Like, Darnold has been around, and he's still somewhat young for his age. I have a lot of Jaden, though. A lot. If Jaden continues to do what he's doing now, I will hopefully do really well in these fantasy contests. But I'm not ready to victory lap just yet. It's stupid to do that in week one. On the Deshaun Watson thing, though, another thing that kind of sucks is, like, their receivers. I kind of like their receivers, right? I think Jerry Jeudy is not great, but I think he's not bad either. I also saw David Njoku get hurt today. David Njoku, to me, is like really good. Like, I think David Njoku is the most undervalued tight end in the NFL. He is my most drafted tight end as well. If he's hurt, I will be losing a lot of money. Not a lot of money, because he wasn't a high round draft pick, but he was like around pick 100. I love David Njoku. Love him. Also love Juwan Johnson, who scored today. I'm a huge Juwan Johnson guy. I'm a bigger Foster Moreau fan. And that catch Foster Moreau had today, okay. Now, that'll just about do it for me. This has become an NFL discussion. Jacobian, if you're watching this, man, I love you, bro. Your dad has been one of the biggest supporters. Got to meet Jacobian's family at the game. God, what a dude. He honestly is a really solid dude, leader, all those different things. It's led us through all these different rooms, and it just sucks. You know, you finally get your shot as the unabated starter. You had some other transfers that were better than you take a lot of your snaps last year that you think you were going to get. Now the defensive tackle cleared out, and now you're hurt. Defensive tackle room cleared out, and you've been through it all, man. And we are going to miss him, but I do think it's also salvageable. Okay? Tank, get well soon. And if there is one LSU benefit, is now it's going to be very hard for Tank to make the jump to the NFL. It's going to be very hard. All right. Does he have a year of eligibility left? Will he get, I think this was his last year, but can he get an injury redshirt this year and come back next year? Now, NCAA, the way I understand it is, well, yeah, he will get a redshirt this year, no matter what, no matter what they do, because he's played in fewer than four games. He's played four games or fewer. So we get him back next year, okay? That's a huge benefit for us. All right, I know that he wanted to, you know, get done and get to the NFL as soon as we possibly can. So I'm excited about that, okay? Our top super chatter tonight was a man who got threatened earlier. My guy, Dane, I appreciate you. He was also the only super chatter tonight. Film study or live stream, unless I missed a Venmo or a Cash App today. Okay, I didn't get one of either. But what I did get, I just saw this in my email, is Dustin joined our PHL Patreon. Congrats, Dustin. You joined the best community of super diehard LSU football fans. Congrats, Dustin. And you're going to get all the extra mumbo jumbo that comes along with it, okay? It is power hour LSU. Boom! And tonight, we're doing ribs. Let's go. Let's go.